numbers that just remind you how old. So you kids, next time, don't raise your hands. Amen. It is a good to be here in the house of the Lord tonight. I think it reminds me again of, you know, when you meet people that you go way back, it just reminds you to think back of all of the blessings and the things that God has done in your life. And I remember Wednesday night, we was talking about just being thankful for what God had done. And I thought about when Pastor asked us to do that, that Pastor Cummings, who was my pastor when we were in Germany at the time, and he said when we both got orders to come back to the States, he said, you guys ought to go there and start a church. And you know, it has come full. Amen. And we did come back and start a church, actually, because I think I was telling somebody I only missed one service when Shining Light Baptist Church was a missionary church that was sent out by Bethel Baptist Church. And I just praise the Lord for allowing me to be here and be a part of what he has done here. And God has done some wonderful things here in the hearts and lives of his people. Amen.
Amen.
And again, tonight, as Pastor was sharing, I do want to share some thoughts with you again tonight. I believe it'll be a blessing to us. I want to start by saying this. Let's take our Bibles and we'll stand. We're going to read one verse as we're going to pick up some things, I believe, that will be a help to us in the days to come. Let's all stand. We're going to turn to Proverbs chapter number 4, and we're going to read one verse, and we're going to kick off some things about this verse that we had been talking about that I believe will be a blessing again tonight as we want to finish some thoughts that we had about this particular area. I believe it would be a blessing to us again tonight as well. Amen. Everybody there, Proverbs chapter number 4 and verse 23. And it says this, let's read it together. Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Father, thank you again for tonight. We thank you for your blessings. God, we thank you for the privilege that we have tonight to be in your house. And I pray tonight, Lord, that you might use this time and use me in a special way. Lord, I'm not deserving of you. Be your servant. But I pray that you would empty me of myself. Fill me with your spirit that you might speak, thus saith the Lord. And your people will leave here tonight and say that it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. And may you do just what you would have to be done. And we'll be careful now to praise you and to thank you for all that you've done and for all that you're going to do. We ask these things now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. All right, you may be seated. And what we want to do tonight is just share some things with you. I believe that we talked about it in times past, and I just want to kind of give you an idea of what we had talked about to kind of bring you up to speed, because we talked about it in the Sunday school hour the week that Pastor was gone. We talked about it a little bit on the Wednesday night that he came back, and we talked about it again. But tonight there are some things, you know, when you give a message, you always want to give a challenge to, I believe, that comes out of a message. But we need to know, how can we apply this to our lives? What is the application of keeping our hearts with all diligence? I want to go back and preface some things that I believe that we need to be reminded of. What is a pure heart? Because I believe it is important for us as Christians to have a pure heart, because it's the pureness of heart that God is looking for, because that's the kind of heart that God can use. You know, the Bible tells us that God won't even answer our prayers if we hide iniquity and sin in our lives, that he won't even hear our prayers.
Amen.
So if God is going to use us, our hearts have to be usable. They have to be pliable. And so they have to be given to God so that he can use them. And when we say what a pure heart is, a pure heart is this. Your heart is a tool made by God for a specific purpose.
Amen.
Amen. So it is a tool made by God for a specific purpose. And God wants to use us to help carry forth his gospel. But we need to use it in such a way that other people see that there's something different about us because we have a pure heart. And God can only use us if the heart is pure. Let me say this as well, as we talked about what the pureness of heart, because it is, this verse tells us, is for out of our hearts, it says, keep thy hearts with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So when we think about our heart, in other words, every time we make a decision, everything that we do, everything that we say, it's going to come out of the pureness, or it's going to come out of what's in our heart. And if we're going to be pleasing to God, our hearts need to be pure, because out of it are the issues of life. When you decide to make a choice, or you decide to make a decision, you're going to base that decision or that choice that you make, it's going to be out of what's in your heart. And your heart has to be pliable, has to be used by God. Think of it this way. Your heart feels life's emotions. So it's a filler. Your heart feels things, because that's what your heart is. Your heart discerns life desires, so it's a warner, and it wants things. So we know that our heart has to, our heart is filled with our desires. And think about it this way as well. Your heart decides life's direction. It's a chooser for you as to what direction you are going to go. So your heart is part of that process. Your heart includes the intelligence, your thinker. So in other words, it's a filler, it's a warner, it's a chooser, and it's a thinker. So out of those things really are the issues of life, because that's what's going to help you make the decisions that you're going to make in your life. Amen. So we want our hearts to be right before God. We talked about the visibleness of the heart. The visibleness of the heart. God wants us to think about it this way, as we shared in times past. Think about 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7, and it says this: But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on the countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the what? God looketh on the heart. So the visibleness of our hearts is not hidden to God. It's amazing to me how many people make decisions and make choices and do things, and they think that nobody sees them. But you know who sees everything that you do? God sees what you do. And God is not looking at the physical part of what you do. God is looking at the heart and the motive that you do what you do. And you can hide from me, or I can look good on the outside, and I think I look pretty good. My wife picked out this outfit for me, as she does every Sunday. She loves doing that, and I love allowing her to do that, because that's what she does. So I can look pretty good on the outside, but God is not looking at what's on the outside. God is looking at what's on the inside. And we talked about that and challenged you with two thoughts here about the visibleness of your heart. See, man looks on the outward appearance, but God said, when I want you to go choose this king, I don't want you to look at his height. I don't want you to look at his stature, because that's not what I'm looking at. I'm looking at David's heart. That is what I want. And one of the first extremes that we talked about that people focus on when it comes to the outward appearance causes men to focus only on my heart, or reason that the outward appearance doesn't matter. But the outward appearance does matter, because if what you saying that shows up on the outside, if it don't match what's on the inside, then you really are being a phony. Amen? Amen. In other words, let me put it this way. You're being a man pleaser if you're making sure that everything looks good on the outside. Amen. But it ought to be your desire to be a God pleaser, because God still is looking at the heart. So what appears on the outside ought to match what's on the inside. Amen. So that is the first extreme. But the second extreme that we see, that is that some people focus only on the external appearance and perform as a standard. But what's wrong with that? The thing that's wrong with that, we be conformative. In other words, it takes a whole lot to try to prove to somebody that you're something that you're not. The Bible tells us that we ought to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't let the world conform you to itself, but let God transform you into something that he can use. Right. How did all of this start? It started for me when I shared with y'all a couple of weeks ago about this individual that confronted me with some words I had never heard anybody say to me. You know, I've been called a lot of things, but he didn't call me a child of God. I put it that way. Amen. And some of the things that he said to me really bothered me. But you know what? I had to ask God to help me to see that person the way that God sees him. Because God wants me to have a pure heart towards somebody, even if they were to say things that can be offensive to you, that can call you and say things to you. I would never in all of my life, even when my BC days, I'd never had somebody say some of the things that this young man said to me. And I tell you, folks, it was not easy to hear that and listen to it. And not only did I have to hear it that day, but I got to look at him every day. And he's never apologized for what he says, but he calls himself trying to make up. But you know what? I say, God, I'm not going to diss him, as we might say. But you know what? He's not going to be my best friend either. Amen. I didn't deserve that. But you know who does deserve that? Me, to have the right heart, the right spirit, and have the right attitude in my heart, because I got to answer to God. And it's not what looks good on the outside that I got to answer God for. I got to look good to God on the inside, because that's what he sees.
And I got to have the forgiveness in my heart to be able to allow God to use me, even in spite of how somebody else would treat me. That's why it's so important that we allow ourselves to keep our hearts with all diligence. In other words, we got to guard and protect and make sure that our hearts are pure and pliable to be used by God. So we saw, first of all, the visibleness of the heart, but then we saw the deceitfulness of the heart. I know that Jeremiah says it quite well. The heart is deceitful and above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You and I don't know what we do sometimes when we're faced with circumstances. You know, it's easy sometimes to look at people's lives and say, I wouldn't do that. Many of us have done that before, haven't we? But you know what? The only thing that separates you from a lost person on their way to hell is the grace of God that saved you, and then you're on your way to heaven. But if it was not for the grace of God, you and I could make the same blunder-headed decisions that we see that people are making every day in our lives if it wasn't for the grace of God. And we have to understand that, because the deceitfulness of our heart, the Bible tells us not only is our heart deceitful, but it's wicked. And it can just as much take us away from the will of God when we think about the deceitfulness of the heart. God's will for us is to be in his will, but our hearts sometimes can be deceitful to us to think that what we're doing is all right to do. But it may not always be the right thing to do. And that's why, it is so important for us to have a pure heart, because that's what God is looking at. So we need to understand, when we talked about the deceitfulness of the heart, we went back and we looked at Genesis, because when we think about Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, and when God said, when he looked at the people of the world, their hearts were wicked, and everything that they did, the imagination of their hearts was everything that they did, even in the book of Genesis, folks. And it wasn't but 5 chapters into the earth being created by God, and the wickedness of this world had filled it in such a way that God destroyed it because he was so fed up with the wickedness of this world. And God wasn't looking at the outward side of them. God was looking at their hearts, because their hearts were continually evil and doing evil things. Because it's almost that way today. If you really think about it, it's just that bad. And every man did that which was right in his what? In his own eyes. And his own eyes are directed by, I'm telling you, it's directed by his heart. That young man, Daryl, said what he said to me because that's what was in Daryl's heart. You have people that look at you every day and hate you because you are a Christian. And you're professing to be a Christian. But I praise God, it ain't nothing good about me. It's only by the grace of God that I might be accused of being something that I'm not. I want to be accused of being a Christian, amen? Or somebody that God loves, somebody that God feels, somebody that God can use, a heart that has a thing for God. Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart, but David fell too because David did not guard his heart. And if you and I don't guard our hearts, we're just as subject as David was to do the wicked sin that he did. Why do you think there's so many people that are having such a hard time in their Christian life? Because they don't do what they need to do to nurture their hearts. That's why we need to be in church. That's why we need to read the Bible. That's why we need to be saturated with the word of God and the things of God. Because we're not going to do the things that are going to be pleasing to God.
Right.
And you can look at your life every day. If it wasn't because of the grace of God, first of all, you wouldn't be saved. If you don't spend time in the word of God and get nurtured and from the word of God and the teachings of the principles and the practices of God's word, you would be just like those that are outside of this auditorium tonight.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If it was not for the grace of God.
Right.
And we got to guard our hearts. You know, it took everything in me. I said, you don't even know, Daryl, what you're talking about. You don't want that Holy Ghost to jump on you this morning. He would have had a Holy Ghost whooping. That's what I wanted to give him, amen. And it wouldn't have been the Spirit of God whooping. It would have been these knuckles, even though they're a little white on the outside. But that's what I wanted to do. But that was not what God would have me to do. Amen. And if you're not careful, people will drive you to do that. They really will. And that's why, again, we got to keep our hearts with all diligence. For out of it are what? Are the issues of life. Every issue that comes up in your life is going to be directed. It's going to be approached. It's going to be exercised by what's in your heart. You can't get around it.
That's right.
That's what's going to happen. And that's why it's so important that we do that. And we think about all of the deceitful things that are in the heart. But I am so thankful that not only the heart can lead us away from God, but the heart can be have a fruitfulness about it. Because it can lead us to the things of God. And what we used that last Wednesday night as an example, not Wednesday night, but the Wednesday night before, I believe one of the greatest tests of any person's heart as a Christian is your giving. Because what happens when you give, you show that you understand that everything that you have, it is because of God. And you don't have a problem giving back to God what belongs to him, because what you have is because he gave it to you. And when we looked at Exodus chapter 35 and throughout Exodus chapter 5, we saw that the wisdom of God was given to even those men that were in Exodus chapter 35. And we won't go back there, but you can turn back there if you want to and look. In Exodus chapter 35, the first thing that we saw that God gave them the wisdom to build and to do what he wanted done in his house. Right. He gave them the wisdom. He also gave them a willing heart to bring their offerings to God to be used for the work of God. So we see even in that chapter that God's word or God's desire for us, where our hearts can be fruitful, is that we understand by the wisdom of God who he is. We can understand a willingness to give back to God because of what he's done for us. And we can be a part of the work of God. Mm-hmm. Amen. You know what? I think about all these years that this church has been here. And you know what? The lights have been on. The pews are pretty comfortable. We're going to turn the air conditioners off here in a couple of months and turn the heat on. Nobody is sweat in the sweat box like we did when we first started out with them big fans blowing down there in that storefront. You probably couldn't hear the preacher half the time because the fans were louder than the preacher. We didn't have that great of a sound system. But now we come into this comfortable building. And you know what? That happened because of the people and their wisdom and understanding how important it was to give to God.
That's right.
So that we could be a part of God's will. He said, because let every man bring of a willing heart. You got to be willing to give to God so that you can be a part of the work of God.
That's right.
And I don't understand for the life of me how many Christians that call themselves Christians have a problem with tithes and giving God's tithes and offerings.
Amen.
I've met so many people that have left this church because they didn't want to give to God. So every time y'all open the door, you got somebody up here challenging you from the word of God about giving. You know what? Y'all coming out pretty lucky. When we first met in the storefront, I not only gave the challenge on the morning service, I gave the challenge on the evening service. And we gave a challenge Wednesday nights about giving. Because we wanted to know, a pastor wanted the people to know, this is enough. This is just off the top. All right. So y'all just listen. Okay. He wanted people to understand about the importance of giving.
That's right.
Because you know what? God's heart and what you do for him is going to show out of you how you give to him.
That's right.
I haven't met many people who don't come here on a regular basis that don't beckon those doors, come in here, that feel pay their tithes to this church. They always told me wherever you put your feet at under the table, you're going to eat at. Amen. And if you put your feet under the table here, you ought to give to this table. Amen. Y'all to get that after a while. Amen. But you should do that. So we talked about that as being one of the things when we think about the fruitfulness of the heart, because it can do just that. And we talked about it. I won't talk about it. I'm going to skip over this just a little bit. But we think about it here. When your heart is pure, the vision is clear. Think about that. Because we want our hearts to be fruitful. And in order for our hearts to be fruitful, this is a statement that was made: when the heart is pure, the vision is clear. God wants to use your heart to help you to see things that others won't see nor understand, and others miss it. Most people tell you when it comes to tithing, really, I don't know why you give your money to this church. I've had people say that over and over, that they don't want you to come by and knock on their door because they think every preacher, everybody that comes by trying to visit, want to win somebody to the Lord or convince somebody to come to church so you can get their money. You know what? I'm glad when we go out and knock on doors, we're not trying to get something. We're trying to give them something. Amen.
Yeah.
We're trying to give them the gospel so they can get saved. And that's what God would have us to do. So people with an impure heart, think about it this way. People with impure hearts
move into spiritual danger. People with pure hearts see God's warning and spiritual dangers before they come. That's why it's so important for us to have our hearts right with God. You know, when people get caught up into doing things, and you all know, you've been there and done that probably yourself, but most of the time when you got up caught up doing something that you ought not be involved in and ought not be doing, it was when your heart wasn't right with God. And you see, you don't even see the danger of what you're putting yourself in when it comes to spiritual things. But when our hearts are clear and pure with God's leading and directions, we see the dangers before they come. And people wonder why you don't do this or why you don't do that. You know what? Spiritually speaking, I know that that's not something that I need to do. You know what? All of this with Daryl or this young man, all of this started with, because in my office that I work in, I don't want to hear all of that music that they're listening to. That's where it all started. You know, I don't need to go back to the BC days. I don't need to be reminded of the nightclubs I used to hang out in. I don't need to be reminded of the filthy thoughts that used to come into my mind when I hear that kind of music. I don't need that in my life. I don't want those things in my life. Because God has given me a different heart. God has given me a different desire for things. And I don't need to feed myself with those things. And let me tell you something. If you don't think that it's important for you to stand up for what you believe is right, you'll fall for anything. And before you know it, you're caught up in thinking things that you ought not be thinking. Your heart will go somewhere where it ought not be. Your mind will search after things it ought not be searching after, because you're not guarding your heart the way that this study or what we've been talking about, the importance of it.
That's right.
It is so vitally important. And you'll get caught up. Let me tell you this. Don't think that you can't fall, because you can. There have been many preachers, there have been many Christians who were living for God. And right now, most of us can look back on our Christian life and tell you a whole lot of people that used to be serving God.
Right.
They used to be doing this. They used to do that. They used to be there when the church doors were open. And they're not there because they got caught up in the wrong things, because they're not guarding their hearts with all diligence. And David is a perfect example. So we see the importance of having a fruitful heart. Or the deceitfulness of the heart is what we talked about. Y'all just hold on. We're going to get to this last point in a minute. Amen. But we wanted to see what those things are. Because I asked y'all, and Brother Surrey said, I can't put my glasses. I can't give somebody my glasses. Somebody put their hands in my glasses, then I got to clean them. But let me say this. The filthiness of this world will blind you, just like if somebody take your glasses off and put their fingers in them and you got blotches in them. And if you don't do what you need to do, spiritually speaking, you can't see out of them. Amen?
Amen.
And he said, well, I ain't giving them my glasses. I can't see. I did have some cleaning things for you to clean them with that night. But you know what? That's the example that I wanted us to see. Because we are faced with issues every day. And if we're not careful, the filthiness of this world will blind you, spiritually speaking. And you need to do what it takes to clean them lenses so you can see out of them. You know, mine's got scratches in them, and I'm going to get a new pair in a couple of weeks here. The military buy me a new pair. Amen? But that's what we have to do. We have to clean our lenses so that we can see clearly out of the glasses that we're looking out of. And the filthiness of this world will consume you, because you're going to be faced with some issues every day that you're going to have to make some decisions at.
That's right.
And we want to make them out of a pure heart so that God can be involved in it. Because when our hearts are not right, God is not involved in the decisions that you're making. And let me say this, because I didn't say it. What is one of the most harmful things for you and I as Christians is to make wrong decisions when our hearts are not right. And a lot of Christians have failed in a Christian life because they had anger, they had bitterness, they had discouragement, they had wicked thoughts, they have all of these things in their hearts, and that is one of the most worst times in all of your life to make good decisions.
Amen.
Do I need to say it again? Because that's why it's so important. You know, where do you get all of this from, Pastor White? You know what? I just thoroughly enjoyed this lesson with the young people. I didn't teach this lesson to the young people.
God convicted my heart. I think this was, I said it before, this was one of the lessons that Brother Hall or either Brother Joe taught to the teenagers. But I just kept studying this book because, you know what, I found out something that the young people, as I've always tried to challenge them, you guys are getting something that I didn't get when I was growing up. Amen. And this was some practical preaching, some practical teachings, and we couldn't even cover all that was in that book. And I think we taught out of different, Discovering Your Destiny, we taught out of that for what, almost 3 years, I told Pastor, and we're finally coming to chapter number 17. And we get to start here, I believe it is, am I right, Jeremiah? It's almost coming, y'all should be coming up to chapter number 17. And it's the last chapter in that book. But you know what? I have thoroughly enjoyed it because God convicted my heart. But what is the whole purpose about this tonight? If we're going to talk about what we need to do, then how do we do it? I'm glad you asked. Amen. I want to share quickly with you just a couple of things that I believe that we need to do when we realize if we're going to keep our hearts with all diligence, how are we going to do it? Because there's a filthiness of the heart. There can be a deceitfulness. There's fruitfulness, but then there's filthiness of heart, but then there's a righteousness of the heart. And I want us to take a look at, let's turn over to Psalms chapter number 51, Psalms 51. And one of the greatest examples of what can happen, because I believe just like David, all of us can be there if we're not careful. Because I think back in David's life, as he's writing this, when Nathan came to confront David about his sin with Bathsheba, and David was pierced to his heart because he knew that his heart was not right with God. And David wanted to get right with God. And I believe as Christians tonight, there are many of us are not where we ought to be with God if we really be honest. So how are we going to get there? I believe two things need to take place as it did in David's life. First of all, there need to be a clean heart or a cleansing of the heart. David recognized this. Look at Psalms chapter number 51. And it says there, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. I believe one of the greatest examples of what we need to do when it comes to our relationship with God, first of all, the cleansing of the heart needs to take place. I believe the reality here that came to David when he realized that what he did, David wanted mercy from God because he recognized who God was. And if we want to be right with God and experience the blessings of God, we need to come to reality and realize that we need the mercies of God to show upon our lives because we can be wrong in our thinking and what we do. And that's the reality of it. Because he said, look, have mercy upon me. In other words, getting what I don't deserve because of what I've done. That's what mercy really is. It's not getting what I deserve, but getting what I don't deserve. And I need the mercies of God. And David came to this reality. I believe every one of us tonight, when it comes to having a pure heart, we have to understand the reality of it all. We need to fall on the mercy of God. Amen. Because really, he's the only one that can help us. The Bible tells us in Psalms, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? What? By taking heed according to what? Thy word. The Bible tells us how are we going to cleanse ourselves. I like what 1 John 1:9 says. I believe it's there because God knew that we were going to sin and do wrong. You can be saved and still sin. Did y'all know that? Amen. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to what? To forgive us of our sins and do what? And to cleanse us from all what? Unrighteousness. Because that's what God wants to do. So there's a cleansing that needs to take place if we're going to be right. In other words, we need to keep the slate clean. Because it's so easy by the filthiness of this world to be polluted in our hearts because Amen. The world wants to conform us. Amen. But God wants to transform us. Isn't God good? Amen. And what I like about it, David failed God, but God is a God of second chances. And he's a merciful God. So that was the reality of it. But notice not only we see the reality of what David said. I'm going to try to stay on point here. Amen. So we see the reality here of David's confession to God or his heart. But notice not only do we see the reality of it, of what David is confessing here, but notice the realization. He says, I want mercy according to what? Thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercy, because he know God is a merciful God. Let me say something else tonight, folks. You know what? I've made many mistakes in my life. God has forgiven me. And I'm so glad I don't have to live with the weight of unforgiveness on my life. But you know what? One thing that we got to live with, that we all got some past baggage that we bring to the table when we got saved, is that the consequences still have to be carried out. Amen. And we still want God to be just and fair in what he does. And he's had some. So David said, I want to, according to thy mercy, according to thy tender mercy, that I want to get what's due me. But I know you're fair and just God. And God is always fair. Aren't you glad even when we sin that God never gives us more than we can bear?
Amen.
Aren't you glad of that? Because really when you think about what you do or what you've done, what you could do, what you might be doing, you're not going to go to hell if you're a child of God.
Amen.
Well, that's a tremendous thought.
That's right.
And he's still merciful when you do wrong, that you can come to him and confess that you've done wrong. Because you recognize that you need the forgiveness of God and you want him to be merciful according to thy mercy, according to thy tender mercy, according to thy loving kindness. And I think what David did here also was David was resolved. David says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquities. Again, we quoted this verse from Psalms 119, and it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed, what? According to thy word. God's word will cleanse you up. You know, when we really come to God and confess to him that we've done wrong, aren't you glad that he is a forgiving God? And when you do it right with the right motive, you can't hide it from him because he knows what? He knows your heart. But I believe when we come with the willing heart of realizing that we failed God and we want to fall on the mercies of God, God will forgive us because he knows our heart. And God knew David's heart. And when David came to God, God didn't turn him away.
That's right.
And God will never turn you away.
That's right.
Because if he tells you you can come, you know what? You can come. I like that. Most people, when you do them wrong, I ain't going to forgive them. You got to pay me some money. or I want this or I want that. I don't believe he really mean it. That's what I probably tell Daryl if he ever apologized, right? No, just kidding. No, I won't. You know what? I believe it or not, I've just come to the conclusion that you know what he really needs? He needs a good dose of Jesus. That's really what he needs. And he needs to still be loved. And I have to pray every day, God help me to still love him. And still pray for him. Y'all remember when we talked about this a couple of Wednesday nights ago? One of the greatest things that you could do for somebody who has wronged you or you got some ill feelings for. You know what? If you pray for them, it's hard to pray for somebody that you can hold grudges or dislike for.
Amen.
Really, if you're really genuine in your prayer for them. Because again, if you regard iniquity in your heart, God will what? He will not answer your prayer. He won't hear you. And that's why it's so important, again, for us to keep the what? Keep the slate clean. First John 1:9. I want God's blessing. You know what? God won't even hear my prayers for my wife, for my kids, for my pastor, for my church family when my heart is not right with God. David came confessing. David came pleading. That's really what David is doing here in this area here of this area of scripture. Watch me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. I believe he's exercising 1 John 1:9. And he says, for I acknowledge my transgression. In other words, David was recognizing what he had done wrong. The reality of it was setting in. He was resolved, but the recognition of what he had done. Notice what he says. Against thee, in verse 4, he says, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in the sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. You know what? I think about Joseph. When Joseph was confronted to sin with Bathsheba, he said, how can I do this thing against my God? When we really think about who we are sinning against, it ought to break your heart that you're disappointing your God.
Amen.
You know, one of the greatest things that I've always, and I think every one of us, if we have the right relationship with our fathers, those that know your father, I say father because it was important what my mother thought, but it was even more important to me what my dad thought about me. Because when I think about my heavenly father, I don't want him to be disappointed with what I do. And it ought to grieve us in our hearts that we disappoint him. I believe it grieved David in his heart. David said, I sinned against thee and against thee only when I did what I did. God, help me. God, forgive me. Cleanse me. Help me, Lord. I need help. Because he came to God with the right motive and with the right heart and with the right spirit in his heart of why he needed help.
Amen.
Because he had disappointed his God. I'll never forget one night, Pastor, I was playing, you know, play football in high school, and you go out there and, you know, and you make mistakes, and you know you made mistakes, and hopefully I didn't let the guy catch the last touchdown, right?
Yeah.
Y'all wanted to meet, win's meeting, y'all missed that one, amen? But I didn't let him catch the touchdown in the last, but you know when you did wrong, and you out there, and everybody's celebrating, the other team, they just having a good old time because they done come to your house and beat you down or whatever, and you lose the game, and you walk around out there. You know what? One of the greatest moments in my life, somebody came and tapped me on my shoulder and said, boy, you remember how y'all said when they call you boy? They serious. Boy, it's going to be all right. My dad. And I believe when we go to God with the right heart of seeking forgiveness from him, he taps us on the shoulder and says, it's all right. It's going to be all right. Because we realize we disappointed him. But disappointment comes in life, but God is a forgiving God. And we ought to want to have a heart that's pure so that God can use us. That is one of the greatest things that can happen in the Christian life is to know that you're right with God. And David recognized that. And I think not only do we see that David had these things in his heart, but notice not only what David said in verse number 10, verse 10 and 11, because I believe the restoration is what we're seeking when we've done wrong. And David wanted to be restored. Notice what it says in verse 10. He says, create in me a clean heart.
Amen.
David wanted his heart to be cleaned up because he knew that's what God is looking for. When God chose him to be king, God was looking at David's heart, not his outward appearance, and God is still looking at his heart.
That's right.
Even when he made a mistake. He says, create me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. That's what he wanted from God. He says, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. I tell you what, I don't mean, if you got saved, there ought to be a time where you can say that you had joy in your heart that's
Amen.
Unspeakable and full of glory when you got saved.
Amen.
Amen. And that's what David wanted to be restored back to, what it was like when he got saved and when he recognized who God is. If you could go back to your salvation tonight, if you weren't filled with a joy, there's something wrong with your joy or whatever you want to call it. It must have been something wrong with it. Amen. David wanted to be restored back to what his relationship with God used to be. And every time we step out of line and don't do what God would have us to do, we ought to want to restore that relationship to get it right. Because I want to walk with him. I want this old wicked heart to be pliable. I want it to be used by God. So we see not only the cleansing that took place in David's life, but I want us to notice something else that I believe is so important to us is the changing of the heart. There needs to be some changes made in our hearts. And you know, it is possible to change. And when the change happens in our life, it's a wonderful thing. Amen. When we really think about what happens when we change. Because I believe it's so important for us as Christians to see God. When our hearts are pure and they line up with the will of God and the things of God, we can see God in it. And it makes so much a difference in our lives when we can see that everything works together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose, because we understand that everything that happens in our life is for a purpose.
Right.
And God has a purpose in what he's doing. And I can see that. I can understand that. And I can see right now when we say it all the time, every time you go to work, every time you step outside your doors, Every time you go to the grocery store, every time you pull up to a red light, every time you speak to somebody in the grocery store, and whatever it is, you know what? As a Christian, you might be the only book that they ever read or see. And that is very true in the Christian life. And we need to be right with God. So then there's a change. I want you to notice this, because when the change is there, we don't have any problem with what God is doing. Then one of the final thoughts that I want to draw to us tonight is the very fact of this change when it happens in our Christian life. Notice this, and this is how God says it. You can turn if you want to. Isaiah 64:8, and it says this. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. You think about it tonight. He's our Father, we're the clay, and he's the potter. You know, when you think about, don't the potter have the right to do what he wants to with that lump of clay? He has every right to do what he wants to with it. And it's such a wonderful feeling when we understand that. That he is the potter and we are the clay. And notice what else he says in Jeremiah 18 and verse 8. He says, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine, O house of Israel. You know what? I thought about it today. When I look at this verse, put your name in there. Oh, Gregory Dawson, can I do with you as the potter, saith the Lord? Can I just do with you whatever it is that I want to do? Brother Neil, can I do with you whatever I would desire to do? I'm the potter, you're the clay. And when things are broken down and they're just not quite refined the way that we want to, sometimes that pruning is a hard thing, but the potter might just take what he got and just throw it into the unusable. Amen? But I tell you what, I like when the potter, when we really allow him to do what he wants to, he'll take it and he'll take that old lump and bring it back to the spool. And he begins to transform it and work out those little impurities that are there. And I believe that's what God does sometimes with our lives. Amen. Because we are the clay. And he is the potter. Don't I have the right to do what I want to with this lump of clay? And he ought to.
That's right.
Because when we allow him to do what he wants to, then that might mean that we're usable by God. Because when God changes us, what I like about it is God changes our desires when our hearts are right. And then when our hearts line up with what God would have us to do, you know, he changes some things about us.
Amen.
You know, that's why I have such a problem with that music. Because God has changed me. I don't need that anymore in my life. That's why I don't go out to the club and hang out anymore. Because God's changed my desire about those things. That's why I'm trying to be careful about what I say, how I say it, and what I do, where I go, who I go with, what I do, because he's the potter and I'm the clay. And I want to line up with God's design, God's direction, and God's desire for my life. It gave the example of this to the young people. How many of y'all do like Big Macs? I haven't eaten one in quite a while. Y'all ever eat Big Macs? What do y'all eat now? Oh, just that good stuff now, right? Don't eat none of that greasy stuff. How about some good old Popeye's chicken?
Hey!
Amen. She don't like that, you know. How about some, I tell you what, I know what she do like. How about some of that good old Swank over there in Germany? I used to like that Hawaiian schnitzel. Loaded it had that pineapple on the top with a little cherry. It had the cheese running down off the side. Don't start foaming at the mouth now. All right. But that's what I used to love when I was in Germany. You know what? I hope God don't change my desire about that. But you know, God, I go anywhere you have me to go. But don't change my desire about that Hawaiian schnitzel. That's what they call it. But you know what? He might change that desire. Because what we have desires for may not be what God has for us. But we ought to be willing to change. But you know what God would do to change him? And give you the verse. Because he did do that. Even when we go back to Exodus, we think about Exodus chapter number 35, where we talked about giving. God has changed their hearts so they were willing to give. But when God changes our heart, as he says, look at the, in Ezekiel 36 and verse 26, it says this. A new heart also will I give you. He didn't say anybody else was going to give you. He says a new heart I will give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. In other words, God is going to change our desires. When our will lines up with God and our hearts are pure the way that God can use us, God may take away the swank. God may take away the desire for a Big Mac. And God may just give you some good old desire for some chitlins. Amen. That's the good stuff, folks. Amen. But he may just give you that desire. I think about some of our missionaries that are called to go on the missions field. You know what? When you think about some of the places that they go, some of the things that they eat, and some of the diets that they have to change to, most of us sitting here tonight would say, you know, I can't eat no whale. I guess that's why they got 9 kids now. Ain't it number 9, preacher? I think it is 9, right? They over there eating whale and bamboo, I don't know, whatever. Whatever it is that they're eating. All them different kind of fish and all that kind of thing. You know what? They didn't grow up to that. But you know what? I tell you this. When their kids probably think that that's some of the best cuisine you could ever have. Because you know what? That's what they were raised on. And they don't know any different. Amen? So when God changes a life, he can change your desires if you would let him do that. You know, that's why people that can go on the mission field and do what God would have them to do. Because God changed their desire because they saw things the way that God sees and saw people that needed to hear the gospel. Amen. And they were willing to change because God changed them. So what am I talking about in there? There's a cleansing that needs to take place in our hearts because if it's clean, God can use it. When your heart is right with the Creator, some amazing things are possible. You think about, we talked about since your heart represents your feelings, your desires, your thoughts, God can change the way you feel and think of, and your desires to something that would be pleasing to him and something that he can use. I tell our young people, as we think about them tonight, most young people start out doing things they ought not do. And one of the things that they probably struggle with is music. You know, when God changes their hearts and changes their desires, he changes the music that you have a desire for. That's why I tell you, I don't need to go back to, and I can mention their name, and I could go back to sometimes to the Otis Reddings and the Four Tops and the OJs and Stevie Wonder, or y'all got me naming off all this sin, right? No, just kidding. But I could just go back, and some of y'all sitting here don't have any clue who we're talking about or who I'm talking about, amen? But I don't need to hear that anymore. Because it takes me back to the old life. And if I allow myself to be fed by that, you know what it does? It takes me back to some sinful and wicked thoughts that I ought not have in my life because of the influence that it used to have in my life. And that's why it's so important for us to keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Because every decision, every desire, every thought, every intent of your heart and what you do is going to become from what's in your heart. You can't get around it. And if it wasn't so, God wouldn't remind us of it. And he reminds us throughout Scripture about the importance of it. And we said it before, your heart is an amazing gift from God. It is a tool to be used for a vital purpose. It is a purpose of God changing that heart from what it used to be so that it can be pliable to be used for something that he needs it to be. And we ought to be willing to let God do just that. You know, I think about our young people and what a challenge it should have been, but it has been in my life. And I see it over and over every day why it's so important for me to guard my heart. Because I could have jumped down Daryl's heart. I could have jumped down his throat, tapped on his liver, and dared his heart to beat. That's what we used to say when we used to get bad and mad with people. Amen. So we tell them we jump down their throat, tap dance on their liver, Miss Jerry, and dare their heart to beat. That's how bad I was. No, just kidding. But I know that's not what God wants me to do. That's not what God, that's not what he needs. What he really needs to see is God. He needs him. He don't realize it, but he do. And we need him tonight, folks. If you keep it clean, it will serve you well. You'll see God and you'll sense his hand at work in every situation. I believe it's so important for us as Christians to see the thumbprint of God on every situation that we go through, that we're going to go through, and that you've been through. Because if you're not in a, we said it this way, if you haven't, if what is it? You say if you're not in one trial, look out, you're going into one. And if you're going out of it, you know what? You might be going out of it, but you know what? There's another one going to come. Because every day there's an issue. There's something that we're going to have to deal with. But we need to keep our hearts pure, because if we don't, God can't help us, because he won't dwell in where sin is. And where we make our decisions is going to be out of our heart. And if we want God to be involved, then we got to keep it clean. We got to keep it pure, because it needs to be a tool that God can use for a specific purpose. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we thank you so much again for this night. God, how we thank you for the blessings of your word. And Lord, I pray tonight, as I think about the challenge that it has been in my life in these last few months, about what's in my own heart. And I pray tonight, Lord, that each one here tonight that's truly under the sound of my voice would understand the importance of having a pure heart. Lord, may it be a tool that you can use. Lord, it can only be what you would have it to be if I would allow you into my heart to be in control of it. Lord, as I think about David, and he came to the realization that he needed you, and so do we tonight, if we really admit what's really going on in our hearts and lives. Lord, and I did mention it tonight, but I mentioned it last Wednesday night or the Wednesday night, a couple of Wednesday night ago. You know, there are many things that can divide this nation. We could decide to stand for the anthem or sit on the anthem. But the only thing that's going to bring two sides of people together, it's going to be the cross of Calvary. And I pray tonight that each one of us will truly examine our hearts and realize the importance of the decisions that we make. May it be Christ-centered and God-honoring in everything we say and do. Let's all stand at my feet. We're going to have heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around. And we're going to ask Miss Natasha to play a hymn of invitation as we all stand. And maybe God has spoken in your heart about something that you need to do when we think about the pure heart that God wants us to have. You know, the thing of it is an old-fashioned altar tonight that we can come to and ask God to help us, because we will be honest with him and how we fail in so many ways when it comes to the pureness of heart. You know, we can hide what's really going on, and nobody could ever see that outward appearance. But I'm here tonight to say that God looks not on the outward, God looks on the inward. He knows everything that we think, everything that we desire. He knows everything that motivates our decisions, and he wants to be a part of it. When I think about my own salvation tonight, God didn't force me to give my life to him. I did it of a willing heart. God won't force himself on you, even in these days to come, for you to live for him. He wants you to do it willingly. Because if you're willing to do it, he will receive it. And he will cleanse it. And when we fail, God is a forgiving God. He's full of mercy. He's long-suffering. And he's patient. And he's loving. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness that would not be pleasing to him. And I pray
tonight, if we be with all honesty, that we be willing to ask God to help us where we fail. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You know your heart is not even in tune to anything that God could use unless he fills it, first of all, with the salvation of his son, Jesus Christ. That young man that came today, he left here a different person. And I believe it's because of the grace of God, he experienced something that every one of us ought to want to have. And if you're here tonight and you don't have Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, what a great night to make that decision. Why don't you let someone take a Bible and show you how you can be saved? That's the greatest decision you can make, and what a thankful time you could have when we think about the Thanksgiving season, of what it is to be thankful that God sent his son to die on a cross for your sin and for my sin. And he's a loving God. What a tremendous thing. Don't leave here tonight if you're not 100% sure. If you die, you go to heaven. Let someone take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. I'm going to ask our pastor to come, and he close as he sees fit tonight.